The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Hey, yo, yo, welcome to another UAB Director's Chair. He's Mark Ingram, the athletic director for your UAB Blazers. I'm Tony Curry, and of course you can hear this show at least 5 days a week on the TKR app. Thanks to the 100,000 folks who have downloaded the app, listened to classic rock and roll, all of our great shows. And, of course, you can see those also wherever you get your favorite podcast, info at tonycurryradio.net. We'll always take your email questions. This week, we're doing our Mount Rushmore of drummers. Mark, next week, I'm going to pick what we're going to be doing. And I'll let you know later on this week. This was, like, incredibly difficult, but it's been a lot of fun. We've done best frontmen, best vocalists, best guitarists. We've gotten into it.
We have not done guitarists yet.
Oh, no. Gosh. All right. Well, we have to do.
You're just avoiding that because that'll be the hardest one of all.
No, I think guitarist will be the easiest one. I mean, because you're going to have Jimmy in there. You have to put Jimmy in.
Let's not get into it today. I don't want to spoil it.
All right. We'll get into drummers after we talk a little UAB athletics. Go to UABsports.com. UABsports.com. You'll see that their first baseball team, of course, had their first series, and they got themselves a winner chicken dinner. We'll talk about the basketball program. What else is going on in athletics as we get ready for Major League Baseball opening day? We got Major League Baseball. We got college baseball going. What other big sports are happening at UAB right now?
Yeah, you know, baseball got a series win this past weekend at Florida International, and softball got a series sweep against Florida International this past weekend. So that was good, and baseball won at Jacksonville State, which is a great win. They've got a great program over there. Jim Case, their head coach, used to be at UAB years ago and is a great, great man and a great coach. And so that was a strong win for us as Casey Dunn really rebuilds our program into what I think could be a powerhouse in the Southeast once we provide them all the resources they need to be successful facilities-wise. But I'm thrilled with Casey, and he's doing a great job. And our new softball coach, A.J. Doherty, I love him too. And he's a local guy that has come up through high school and junior college ranks and has been successful everywhere he's been. And so I have no doubt that given the right amount of time, he'll be successful here at UAB too.
Fantastic. And, of course, so we have a big basketball game. We're recording the show on the Wednesday before the NIT final in Las Vegas. You're in Vegas right now. What hotel are you staying at, by the way?
Yeah, we're at a place called the Vdara, V-D-A-R-A.
Where's that at?
And it's part of a complex. That sounds fancy, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's part of the Aria complex. And, yeah, it's a beautiful hotel. I've only been to Las Vegas a couple of other times, so I don't know a whole lot about Las Vegas, you know, other than what you see on TV and in the movies. And I keep waiting to bump into the Rat Pack out here, because in every movie I've ever seen them and Elvis are out here.
The Rat Pack.
I'm looking for them. I'm trying to find them. We'll see what happens if I get lucky there. But no, I mean, we played late last night into an overtime game and beat Utah Valley, who was a really good team coached by Mark Madsen. If you remember in college, he played at Stanford. He was Mark Mad Dog Madsen at Stanford, took them to the Final Four. And he was also their class president at Stanford, which is just funny to me. And played for the Lakers, two NBA titles with the Lakers. Now, I don't know who had a bigger impact, him or LeBron. Or no, I think he was with Shaq and Kobe. Yeah. I don't know who had the bigger impact, but nonetheless, he was on that team. But anyway, a great guy and has done a terrific job with Utah Valley. And they were super tough. They were super tough. And so we felt fortunate to come away with a win. And now we get to play North Texas, which is like,
And we were talking off air before we started the show. I've never seen a basketball team have 49 points with 14 minutes and 27 seconds, and they didn't score the last 9 minutes of the game. It was excruciating. If you're the Wisconsin coach, I don't know what you could have changed. I don't know what they did differently the last three quarters. It was the most amazing game of infutility I've ever seen from an offense in a basketball game. And you're talking about a Wisconsin that, you know, had won 20 games this year. But that's what North Texas does. And you brought up a great point. You know, they're very, very deliberate. They love to play in the 50s, which is really boring basketball. I saw them play UAB earlier this year in a game they lost. UAB was close, and all of a sudden they had four times in a row they had shot clock violations. They didn't care. They were up a dozen. They didn't care. They just ran the clock out, which is incredibly boring to watch. but they don't start their offense till about 8 or 9 seconds left on every possession. They don't have to be up by 20 to do that. They do that the entire game. And I think it gets to the point where when you're not playing that common frenetic pace that we're used to seeing now in college basketball and spreading the floor, it lulls you to sleep a little bit. And it seems like they get easy buckets. And I guess that's why they win. But good for North Texas. And I think it's NIT, and it's an all-conference USA NIT. And I think that bodes really well for the conference.
Yeah, and we're both going to the American. Yep. And then you got Florida Atlantic, who's in the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. They're going to the American with us. And then Charlotte, who's going with us to the American, they won the CBI.
How about that?
So
that's amazing.
You know, yeah, and it also kind of further emphasizes why the NCAA tournament should expand.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, nobody ever says this, so I'll be Jerry Maguire here and say it. The field should expand to 128. That would double the field from 64, but it's only one more game. Like, that sounds like this huge number. It's one more game.
No, I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Right. And nobody has any problem with the people who have the play-in game. If they were to make it to the championship, that's just one more. It's the same number of games for them. So why not give everybody a chance? If it's 128, Tony, that's still only like 30% of the field.
Yeah.
I mean, of the 350 some odd teams out there, you're talking about 124. It's just not. It would be so much better to have all of us in it and with a chance. That's what makes it competitive. That's what makes it exciting.
No, and for people that would say, well, you know, those higher seeded teams aren't going to win anyway. We got a 4, 2, 5s, and a 9 this year. This has been the strangest, funkiest March Madness I've ever seen. And, you know, we saw what St. Peter's did last year. We saw MD Baltimore, what they did against Virginia. Why not? I mean, it's not so much.
These are the same people who they say that, and then they won't play us at our gym.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, get them to come to Bartow Arena. They won't do it.
Yeah. Before we get into the NIT final, though, I did want to ask you, with what we have left in March Madness this year, what's your feelings? Because, I mean, we do have a 4, 2, 5s, and a 9. I like upsets early. I think it makes it fun. But when it comes down to it, I want the cream to rise. And I know we don't have the Kentuckys, the Kansases, the North Carolinas. We don't have those perennials playing. Do you like the fact that we have three teams in the Final Four for the first time ever?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
It's good for the game.
Yeah.
Listen, those other teams, you know what? They would be in the Final Four if they were as good as the four that are in the Final Four.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
That's why they're not in it. It's all there is to it. Or they won it the day that they played, and they know that, right? And that's not me knocking them. It's what it is. And the transfer portal, with all its challenges, is a big part of how this is leveled out. You've got players that want to play that are really good that were sitting at kind of the role player spot at those places you're talking about. They didn't want to be a role player, so they transferred to Florida Atlantic and UAB and North Texas and, you know, and on and on. And that's what makes the tournament great, is there's a lot of talent out there, and now those guys are moving around to get on the floor to get minutes, because there's only so many minutes to go around. And to me, that's got a lot to do with what's leveled it out.
Yeah, no doubt. He's Mark Ingram, the athletic director for your UAB Blazers. This is the UAB director's chair. You can hear at least 5 days a week here on TKR, and of course, wherever you get your podcast, we're on every major indice out there. Look for the UAB director's chair right here on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. So, I know you want to play the team you think you have the best shot at beating coming up Thursday night. And you also want to know the team you're playing. You've played North Texas 3 times this year. We'll talk about that in a second. Were you kind of praying that maybe you'd have a little spice it up and maybe play Wisconsin or different? Or do you want to play North Texas for the 4th time this year because you think, listen, they put 52 up at Bartow Arena, but then they put up 79 and 76. They split the last 2 games. So obviously they're beatable. Not many teams this year put up, points in the 70s against North Texas. So there's something there, right?
Definitely there is. And I think that, I wondered, it wasn't so much what I want as much as what does the team want, right? Yeah. If the team is hungry to play, I don't care who we're playing, really. And I think that in the locker room, the sense was they're kind of looking forward to the game because they know North Texas is tough. Yeah. And they know they're really good, and they know that it's a challenge. And I think they're looking forward to it. North Texas has beaten us twice. We've gotten them once. And so both teams probably feel a little bit of a revenge, us meaning that we feel like we should have won more than just one of those games, that we lost a close one in overtime to them at their place. We probably feel like we should have gotten that one. They probably feel like they could have or should have gotten the one at the conference tournament that we won, and that was, I guess, in the end, more meaningful. And so they're probably mad about that. And so I predict a really tough, physical, hard-played game tomorrow night. I think it'll be a great game. I think Grant McCaslin, their coach, is terrific. He's a really good guy who has done a terrific job there at North Texas. And now match him up against Coach Kennedy, who, you know, what else can you say about the job Andy's done? He's been fantastic and of course, loves UAB. And so I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Really good basketball game.
Yeah, and both teams, I think, have set records. I know UAB has for most wins in a season, which is just a wonderful thing, regardless of what tournament you're playing postseason. I think it's great. And, you know, anytime you can be on national television, I think it's just a wonderful thing. And what a great way to leave Conference USA and go to the AAC. I think it's just fantastic. So best of luck to the UAB Blazers. We were going to try to make it out there. Major League Baseball season starts tomorrow. But I know you'll hold down Las Vegas for me. Just don't hit the craps tables too late, okay?
I'll do my best.
Are you a gambler? Do you gamble?
No, I never do. There's no better opening day than Cincinnati Reds. I've done it once, and I don't know who's throwing out the first pitch tomorrow, Tony, when you go, but George Bush threw out the first pitch at the opening day that I went to in Cincinnati.
Man, they do it right. You usually have a big opening day parade, and usually, you know, someone like Pete Rose or Davey Concepcion or Little Doggy or one of those guys is the marshal. And I mean, that Cincinnati blows it out, man. And you know, obviously Cincinnati is the oldest club that ever was built in 1869. They were the first Major League Baseball team. And for years growing up, the first pitch was always in Cincinnati first. And then Cincinnati was off a day, then they go on the road, but they always started every single season as the first pitch. And they don't do that anymore, but this is also going to be the first year where every Major League Baseball team is playing on opening day, which is pretty cool. All right. This is the UAB director's chair. Let's get into it. You're driving me crazy, man. We started this Mount Rushmore of stuff a few weeks ago. And I, for like the last 3 days, I've been going through, we're doing our best drummers. And again, what's so fun about this is our drummers, you know, and I know. I know you can do the list of best drummers. And I kept thinking, okay, am I getting the guy who is the best, you know, is he the best drummer? Like, is he actually the best drummer, or is he the best drummer for the band he's in? Or is he a guy, or do we pick some drummers that we don't even know? And then when I was going through the list, Lord Almighty, I could not believe how many great rock and roll artists we know by name and they're drummers. Before we get into it, we always do our honorable mention. I think your honorable mention was like 118 names last week. Yeah. But give me some honorable mentions. I'll give you mine, then we'll get into your first drummer.
All right. I'm going to try my best here on my honorable mentions. And all my friends that are listening will not believe who's on the honorable mention list that got left off of the Mount Rushmore. But here we go. My personal all-time favorite, Alex Van Halen. When I heard Hot for Teacher for the very first time, listening to that, and you know, I'm sure there were other people that were using two bass drums before him, but I didn't know it. And he was the first person that I ever heard do that. And I just thought that was incredible. I love Lars Ulrich from Metallica. Mm-hmm. Lars Ulrich is kind of sloppy in some ways, but he, as one of my best friends says, he's one of these guys that's just like, hey, let's just stomp our foot on the pedal and hope everything works out. And he's kind of like that in the way that he plays. I think that, that he does a lot of technical things that are really challenging and helps make that band who they are. A guy who I don't know how good of a drummer this next guy is. My next two, actually.
Yeah.
But they both wrote all their music and sang, which is Don Henley from the Eagles, right? And and Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil Collins, who probably, you know, in the air tonight, that drum line is probably something. It's one of the most famous ever, right?
Yeah, I don't see how someone plays the guitar and sings. I sure as hell can't figure out how you can play drums and sing at the same time. No, that's unbelievable. Yeah. And Don Henley, In his defense, he's not even in the top 100 drummers, according to Rolling Stone magazine, which is hard to believe. Now, he's a great vocalist, don't get me wrong, and he doesn't always play drums, but when you can do those two things, you're certainly high up there. Continue.
Yeah, and that's why I had him on there. Is he, again, I'm not sure he's a great drummer necessarily, but I can tell you, when I was playing for Super Loop and the Yard Goats, it's hard to do.
Were you a vocalist too?
I did both until I got, you know, I started at drums and they're like, you're not very good at this, try this. And then I went to the vocals and you're not good at that either. Why don't you just carry our stuff in the van?
that was great.
So here you go, Stuart Copeland with the Police. Mm. Stuart Copeland was an incredible player, really creative guy, who you know, before and after the Police, continued to do things that were just really talented, really technical type drumming, which I thought was great.
Yes.
Next guy, Mitch Mitchell. Mm-hmm. He was he basically is the Jimi Hendrix experience, man. I mean, if you go back and look, Mitch Mitchell is critical to everything that Jimmy was doing and really made that band. A little more modern guy, Chad Smith with the Red Hot Chili Peppers is hysterical. And a great drummer. And any interviews you ever see with Chad Smith, is he just seems like a guy you're going to love. I've got Rick Allen. Rick Allen, who I really don't think is a great drummer. Rick Allen from Def Leppard. But my God, he only had one arm.
Dude, I mean, he was great before he lost his arm.
Yeah.
And I got a chance to bring them on stage for the Adrenalize tour when they were in the round. And the fact that he plays as much with his feet, and he created that foot pedal to play, is absolutely amazing. I agree with you. Right. It's incredible.
Yeah, you know, Pyromania was great, and he had two arms. And then later, you know, his stuff was a lot more basic after that. But you're right, he's doing it with his feet, for goodness sake.
No, it's unbelievable.
You give the guys some credit. And then so my last honorable mention, who is another guy who I think is actually technically very good, and he's real hard charging, and he's also zany as heck, was Tommy Lee with Motley Crue.
Yep.
I mean, he put himself in a roll cage and flipped upside down. So that's my honorable mention group. What do you got?
I think you're on. I was going to mention, you know, Don Henley, Stuart Copeland, I think it almost made my top four, just because from a technical standpoint, you've got to be so on with the Police just because they're offbeats. I mean, it's, you know, some drummers can just sit down with any drum and play backup and just go. You can't do that with the Police. Tommy Lee's on there. Max Weinberg, who I absolutely love. I got a chance to meet him up in New York at the Grammys. Super, one of the nicest dressed drummers by any stretch. Unbelievable. do you remember Matt Frenette? If you saw Working for the Weekend from Loverboy, you remember him, man. He was the reason I watched that video for Loverboy. He was killing the drums, Matt Frenette. I loved, I mean, hitting the cowbell at the beginning of that song. I'm not saying he was one of the greatest, but I remember that growing up. Ringo Starr, you know.
You got a fever for the cowbell.
Yes, so you got to have more cowbell. Ringo Starr's got to be in there. Charlie Watts, God rest his soul. The fact that he played for over 50 years with the Rolling Stones, not an easy band. A guy who
I'm gonna stop you there.
Yeah.
So I struggled with both of those, Ringo and Charlie. I just thought they were too basic.
No, I get it.
Anti one of the legends, and you're right. They played forever.
Yeah.
And so you know,
no, it feels like you could have brought in a member of the audience in, and you know, if they look like Charlie Watts, they could have pulled it off. A guy who I just, you know, and he's known more for you know, his methamphetamine use and certainly getting a hit out on somebody and went to prison. But Phil Rudd from AC/DC. is one of the funnest guys to watch because his facial expressions never leave. And there was a video they did, a song called Safe in New York City, where they actually closed off the Lincoln Tunnel, and the band did the video there, and they were on their third take. And if you've ever heard that song, it is unrelentless. I mean, it just goes. And after the third take, they're like, okay, fourth take, he said, I'm done. I can't. I mean, he is just killing the drum sets. The Skins were screaming. So I put
anybody
Phil Rudd.
That's willing to go to prison over being a drummer is worth mentioning.
There's no doubt. Roger Taylor with Queen, I think another guy
who
could have made my top four just because their music was so operatic. It was so difficult to play. I think you have to be really good.
And he sang too, right? Like he was a guy who participated like legitimately as a vocalist and like in backup form, but I mean, I'm with you. He was one that I just took off only because I thought my list was getting too long.
I can't believe you didn't put Neil Peart on there, unless he's one of your final four. And we'll
find.
Okay.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Well, he's not one of my final four, so that's good.
Wow.
You named one of my final four. Ginger Baker, Keith Moon is another one. Mick Fleetwood. You can sit there and say, wow, but just think about some of the Fleetwood Mac songs. I mean, there are so many times where I'm hearing a song and I'm going, man, a cymbal would sound really good here. Let the drummer play,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And Mick Fleetwood did that. Tommy Ramone was just out of his flipping mind. Super fun to watch. I love guys, man, when you're holding the sticks between the second and third finger, get out of here, man. I want you to hold it like a drumstick. I want you beating the raps. Butch Trucks, who I got a chance to know, is one of the best guys. And maybe this guy's on your list. Dave Lombardo, man, from Slayer, is just one of those guys.
All right. Okay. So thank you for saying it. I did not put him on my list only because I didn't think he properly fit into our category. But yes, absolutely. That guy
he
was able to do, how fast he plays.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable. And
unbelievable.
You mentioned Tommy Lee. Listen, he's more famous off the field than he is on. But any dude who can play the drums upside down and do a lot of things upside down, by the way, is pretty amazing. So that's what we got. All right, we got about 8 or 9 minutes left. Let's get to our final four here. Mount Rushmore of the greatest drummers, according to Mark Ingram. Give me your first one, then we'll go back and forth. Go.
Yeah, so you've mentioned all of mine except for one.
Really?
The only one that you did not mention already, I'll start with, and that's John Bonham from Led Zeppelin.
Yep. He's number one in every list, and I've got him number one on my list too. I don't even think it's close. And if you listen, you know, when the levee breaks, I mean, just the drum part of their music was so important. And I don't know anyone else that could have walked in his shoes and played. And unfortunately, and his son obviously is a hell of a drummer as well, but I'll go John Bonham as well. I think that one's, what's your number two?
Well, Neil Peart from Pink Floyd, or Rush, excuse me.
Yeah.
I think was just a wild, wild player, well ahead of his time, and so a lot like John, that these guys were light years ahead of everybody else.
All right, I'm going to go with Phil Collins, and I know he was on your honorable mention list. I think the fact that he played is so well. What was the song? A Miss Again, which is just great drums. I wish it would rain down, even in his solo career. Now, he didn't play drums as much in his solo career, and he doesn't play behind the sets anymore. He's on a chair. But I just think his drumming added so much to Abacab, man. Just listen.
I would have thought you were more of a Susudio man.
No. You know what? When he started singing Disney songs, I was out. When he started singing the Supremes and stuff, I was like, I'm out. But everyone did that too. Phil Collins, I'd have to put in there is my top four. Maybe not from a technical standpoint, not one of the best. But again, I think if you're singing and drumming at the same time, pretty amazing. Who's your number three?
Yeah, you mentioned Keith Moon from The Who. I got him here. Keith Moon probably wrote the book on how to be a rock star. So everything that's crazy that any rock star has ever done, Keith did it. And so for the one thing that each other rock star did, Keith did all of those things, you know, throwing his TV out the window and burning down the hotel room and trashing the place. And was just but was a great, great player. And, you know, it's not a surprise to me that as we go through these lists and you think about the greatest bands of all time, how many of them were, you know, they were playing together.
Yeah.
And you know, I mentioned Roger Daltrey as a vocalist or front man a couple weeks ago. And so anyway, that's Keith Moon's number three for me.
You know, I got a copy of Roger Daltrey's Mick Vicker album downstairs. I may have to listen to Free Me after the show, man. I love that solo album. It's so good. So in no necessary order. My nightmare, you know, people have nightmares of losing their teeth or not remembering their combination at school. They're flying and they wake up before they hit the ground. My nightmare is when I get thrown in front of a famous person, and I don't know enough about them to give a very good interview. I always like to ask questions, and I even do it with you. I try to think outside the box. I like to have some laughter. I like it to be fun. I want to have some chemistry with you. And I don't want to be asking the same damn questions to every single rock and roller because I've know they've been through the process. So my nightmare is when I get in front of somebody and I have no clue their background, who they are, whatever. So I'm in high school. I was the program director of WLHS radio at Lakota High School. It was a little 10-watt station. We give away, you know, if I say call number 3 for a Big Mac on a Monday, it would be Friday before someone finally win it. And my teacher says, we have a special guest coming to play a concert at the auditorium on Friday night. I did this show called Live Wire, and normally I would interview the mayor or I'd interview the superintendent of the school district. It was kind of a public service show. And she's like, you need to do a little homework on this guy named Buddy Rich. And I was like, okay, who's Buddy Rich? And she's like, are you serious? And again, I was 17 years old and I didn't have the information. I said, he's a drummer. How hard can it be? It was the worst interview I've ever done. I wish I had a copy of it. It lasted no more than 2.5 minutes. He was so rude to me. He was not a nice man. But man, it set me straight from that point on. I was like, I am doing as much research on I can on anything. I mean, I was doing research on the flipping janitor at our school in order to find out more details. But after hearing his concert from a jazz, and he really never did a lot of rock and roll, but he's the only one of the few drummers that actually had albums of just his drumming. He just did albums with just drumming on it with timpani in the background. It was amazing. If you ever get a chance, and again, if you go to any music store, you go to Bailey's Brothers or Guitar Center or whatever, you're going to see Buddy Rich, how to play the drum set, logs of stuff. Technically, he was so superior in playing jazz music. It ain't just bobbing your leg and tapping the timpani. You know, if you listen to some Vince Guaraldi Trio or some of those things, man, the drummer is such a big part of that. But I'm going to go with Buddy Rich as my third guy. Who is your fourth one?
I got Ginger Baker from Cream.
There you go.
And I think about him and Eric Clapton together. And what a combination of musicians all together and their bass player. I mean, they were just fantastic. And so, you know, again, no surprise they were so successful. But that was my fourth, who you had on your honorable mention.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with a final guy who I really can't believe because he's still getting after it. They're coming to town here in a couple of months, but I'm going to go with Dave Grohl just because I think he's so fun to watch. I really missed it when he got out in front of the band, obviously. When Kurt Cobain died, when you lose your songwriter, when you lose the singer of the band, and no one knew anyone else in the band until Kurt died. Yeah. For Dave to start the Foo Fighters, and really, they've sold 3 times as many albums as Nirvana will ever sell.
Oh, sure.
Is just amazing. And, you know, I love when, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. You know, George Benson used to play drums when he was younger, and then he picked up the guitar. He had, one of his first albums and it's escaping my mind. I cannot remember it. It's driving me crazy. Anyway, it was all instrumental. And someone said, you know, have you ever thought to sing with your guitar? And he's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you should sing. He's like, I can't sing. And obviously we know that George Benson can sing his brains out. And he's still singing, for Dave Grohl to come out behind the drum set and be able to sing the way he does
and
play guitar, and he co-founded the band. A lot of people don't realize he co-founded Nirvana. And obviously the Foo Fighters are as big. And the other thing I love about Dave Grohl is you can get on there and do Dave Grohl or Foo Fighter covers. Dude, he sings Bee Gees. He sings Carpenter's music. Go pull up Dave Grohl covers. He'll sing anything, anywhere, anytime, which is just an amazing thing. A lot of guys don't want to do that. And some of it's funny, but some of it's like, wow, it's really amazing. But I'm going to go Dave Grohl, my final guy.
I'm a big Dave Grohl fan, and I'm with you. I just, coming back to you and I, probably should have given ourselves parameters on what, you know, constitutes classic rock or not, because Dave is he's a great one, and I'm glad you put him on the list.
No, it's, I mean, it's, and that's what makes this so good. And we can have a friendly debate about it, but sometimes you just can't do it. I mean, when we did bass players last week, and I'm picking the guy who played, you know, on Freak Out, and I heard Sister Sledge, We Are Family. And it was so funny. I heard it on Sirius XM driving in today. And I was like, and I was just listening for the bass line itself. And I was like, wow, that guy really was good. I'm glad I picked him. Man, great set. All right. So next week we're going to get guitar players. Can we put Jimmy in there? Can we agree right now that Jimmy's going to be in there so we can pick four other ones? Just do a Mount Rushmore with five? Because, I mean, you have to have Jimmy on there, right? Jimmy's on there?
I need time to think about this. I can't be pressured into it answering a question like that, Tony.
Okay, Jimmy and Eddie Van Halen. Now we have to pick four more on top of that.
Well, Eddie's in.
You know, and this is so refreshing and so good for my soul and my brain, because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, man, drummers. And when I start going through a list of drummers, like, holy hell, let's throw in Sheila E. I mean, Sheila
bro,
E.
I hate that you said that. Dude. Man, I was going to surprise you with that one. I already had her on my list.
Dude, she was unbelievable, man.
I know.
I mean, first of all, she's fun to watch drum. But I mean, Sheila E. was unbelievable for Prince. I mean, yeah, great list, man. Super fun. I love this, man. Let's do it. Hey, listen. Go beat that mean green ass tomorrow night, Thursday night in Las Vegas. It's going to be on ESPN. Correct? ESPN?
ESPN2.
Go check it out. Knock him out. You've already knocked him out once, man. What a great. You know, I'm trying to think to myself, would I rather be in the NCAA March Madness Tour and lose in the first round or second round, or would I rather win the NIT, because it's given any UAB fans a chance to watch their basketball team even more, and it's given people in this country a chance to check out just how good Andy Kennedy is with his basketball team, and I'm super excited. I hope they're high-flying. I'd like to see them get up 12 and sit on the ball with 5 minutes left against North Texas, which would be a lot of fun.
I'd like that.
Unfortunately, Wisconsin was up 11, and they couldn't do it because there was 15 minutes left. They just couldn't sit on the ball. But yeah, go get it. Have a great time in Las Vegas. Watch your wallet. Don't do any gambling. Watch the drinks. Carry your drink.
Don't you worry. I got it.
And give your lovely bride a big hug and a kiss. And we'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, pal. Thanks a lot.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.